Hey, welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say? This is Tom McNew again on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Appreciate everybody tuning in and joining us today. Thanks, Father, for always your wisdom.
My pleasure, always a pleasure to speak with you, Tom, to talk about things of eternal importance.
And we are going to hit some a lot of things of eternal importance today, and
Yeah,
probably over
yeah.
the next couple 3 weeks here, we're going to get into a little compare and contrast, if you will, with the seven cardinal virtues and the seven deadly sins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you are.
Appreciate everybody joining us today. I want to remind everybody that we'll open it up to a little mailbag edition. So if you got questions, if you want to know what would Father John say about this particular situation or that question in your mind, send them to me, Tom at armorofgodradio.com. We'll get his wit and wisdom on all your burning questions. Maybe you've heard something previously on the radio and you just didn't get a good answer, or didn't feel like you got a good answer, and that question still remains. Send them to me, Tom at armorofgodradio.com, and we'll tee all that up. All right, Father.
Oh, hey.
So I think maybe what we need to start with maybe is some context and some definitions. So maybe we should just start with what does the word virtue actually mean?
Yeah, it's I guess that's the opposite of vice. A virtue is a habit that leads to holiness, leads to completeness. It's your freedom for what you are meant to do and meant to be. And when practicing virtue becomes easier, then you become virtuous. That means you're set free. You're contributing to the kingdom of God. You're bringing peace and order. And all these virtues as a remedy for sins takes discipline, but discipline brings happiness. Discipline brings happiness.
And I think that's a key component there that I think it's St. Thomas Aquinas who said that virtue is a habit of the will, and it's not something that we're just born with. It's something
No,
that
it takes practice.
we have to work on.
Yeah, like some people are just naturally more generous. Some people of us have to work on it. We have to be intentional about being chaste and temperate and prudent and patient and diligent and all those things. But then when those things, you're free of them, then you are free. Because, yeah, I heard a guy once say, you cannot be happy without discipline. You cannot be happy without discipline. And we think of discipline as what whitening, your knuckles, but that's the lie of the evil one. But if you're disciplined, you're not having fun. Being a Christian is boring. No, I always think people who think the mass is boring or think Christianity is boring, they're boring. They're always looking for the next high, the next good time, and they're always depressed. That's where we can start. I think this was Seven Deadly Sins was first kind of, there's a history to these things. Leo, I want to say it was Leo the 10th, Leo, one of the first kind of to start making these lists. I got it right here, and they've kind of gone through different machinations. John Cassian and a couple other people, Pope Gregory the First kind of revised it in 590 with some fancy Latin terms, like asadia. We kind of think of that as sloth. Yeah, but asadia is so much more deeper than that. His whole book's been written on that. So that's hopefully that's little boundaries.
So let's just first of all, let's for everybody's awareness, let's just name the sins and then the associated virtues, and then we kind of tackle these one at a time.
The ones that kind of the normal ones are pride, lust, greed, anger or wrath, sloth, gluttony, and envy. What do you have? Okay.
Avarice, I greed or avarice, yeah, those are
Avarice, asadia, vainglory. There's all kinds of fortunato is lust, gula, gluttony. But either way, these can kill the soul and they can be not only tempting, but they can lead to addiction. I think, yeah. So before I'm tempted to jump into one of these, but I'll
Yeah,
wait
no,
for you to give me the green light.
so the we could loosely define our the capital sins as living too lax. And then, as you mentioned, the remedy then to the sins then is the capital or cardinal virtues. I've seen that word, the word's interchangeable. The cardinal virtues then, the seven cardinal virtues then are humility, generosity, chastity, meekness or patience,
Patience.
temperance, kindness or brotherly love, again, and diligence.
Yeah,
And again,
diligence for.
there's probably a couple of other words that could be thrown in there for most of them, but
And it's good that we jump into the study and use different words because words change over time. You know, people don't use words like acedia anymore.
yeah.
And, you know, we all, if not to open up a whole other can of worms. The word like gay has changed meanings, you
Right.
know. So
Yeah.
that's changed
Yeah.
meanings. But Mother Church identifies warning signs and says, don't be tempted by this. Because when we are tempted, that's the deadly temptation. And when we give in to it, oftentimes it's difficult to get out. It's difficult to get out. You know, I guess we could, like, even lust. That's
Yeah.
always one that, you know, even we'll leave pornography aside for a second. Whenever a couple is dating and they give in to fornication, once they cross that line, it's so difficult to go back. It's so difficult once you've crossed that line. And then oftentimes, even if the couples try to be chaste, now all of a sudden, now all of a sudden, they're one or two of them is hurt, feels rejected, and not cared for, not loved, because they've stepped over that line. It's like when you stick a hook in a fish's mouth. If you don't carefully pull it out, if you just yank it out, it's a big wound. It's a big wound. It takes a long time to heal.
And argue you kill the fish.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
You
yeah,
do.
yeah.
And
So let's just kind of jump in here. Arguably, pride is the mother or father, I
yeah.
guess you depend upon your perspective, of all sins, the greatest
Yeah,
of
so
all
what
sins.
is
So,
pride? And
yeah.
that's, you know, that's the, you know, C.S. Lewis writes that's the is the anti-God state, as opposed to God. You know, the other ones, it leads to all the other ones. This is the sin of Lucifer. I don't want to serve. I don't want to be told what to do. I'd rather be miserable than obedient. And it is understood to sever the human spirit from God. And there's all kinds of reasons to be is all kinds of spiritual pride is the worst. So, and this can turn into what whole fields of psychology have attempted to tackle. When pride becomes so entrenched, you can become a narcissist. And narcissism has become really the whole fields of psychology are telling people, how do you deal with a narcissist? Because in many ways, it's very difficult, if not impossible, I don't want to say that, to cure a narcissist, because everybody serves them. Pride means not being empathetic or sympathetic to other people. You're like the star in your own show. Everything revolves around you. Everything revolves around, and people. It's really a terrible place to be, because people who are narcissistic, who have now embedded that pride, they need what's called a supply. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Supply is they need people to honor them.
Oh, okay, I see.
They need people to tell them how great they are. They need affirmation. A prideful person cannot take criticism. Cannot take criticism. Yeah, they're used to winning, and if something has gone wrong, it's always their fault, other people's fault. You marry a narcissist, he will gaslight you. He'll make you feel crazy. It's very difficult for them to say, "I was wrong and I'm sorry. I was wrong, and how can I make it up to you?" They'll say, "Okay, I was wrong, but."
But you did, or
Yeah.
you said, yeah.
And they need people to need them. So that's what I mean by supply. Then someone needs to admire them. It's sort of the opposite of Christianity. Jesus had no problem ticking people off. He had no problem people denouncing him, calling him names, making it's the refusal to be humbled.
Right.
I was wrong. And as a I'm a priest, I'm trying to be holy. I've said that's the most difficult thing to say to someone. Hey, listen, I want to talk about what happened. I was wrong and I'm sorry. I said this to you and I was out of line and I asked for your forgiveness. And that is difficult because we all deal with pride. We all like compliments. And when we have done something or said something that's hurt people, oh my gosh, and then it hits us. We sweat. That means we sweat, we're embarrassed and regretful. That means you may have a well-formed conscience. Pride has no conscience. There's an old saying in the South when they talked about people in the Klan. It's you can't guilt people into converting. They would say, rattlesnakes don't commit suicide. You ever heard of that? Yeah, what does that mean? You can't go to a rattlesnake and say, "Look how ugly and dangerous you are." They're like, "What?" Rattlesnakes don't commit suicide. Prideful people do not commit suicide.
Let me be the devil's advocate here for just a minute, and no pun intended, but
Devil! Go ahead.
but in scripture, we hear Jesus tell us that we need to strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And it would seem to me just as that there's a line there somewhere where our quest for perfection runs right up next to pride.
Yeah, so what is it's like telling someone I know you're real. I mean, I know you're gonna do a good job. When someone says that to us, we're like, "Oh God, they don't know. I want to do a good job. I'm going to strive to do this." And it's a what's we call the a poverty of spirit. I still need more work. But what if you say, "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father perfect"? If I were to say, "Ha, check, I'm there, check, let's move on. Me and God are like this, and He told me to tell you." That's we say when people heard, "I want you to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect," they were supposed to be struck to the heart. Wow, this is what He wants from us. How can we do this? It's supposed to inspire humility. It's supposed to be inspire humility. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, it's supposed to kick up humility, and you want a loved one, to tell someone. I saw this at a veterinarian shop, where I talk to my dog. It says, "Be as loving as your dog thinks you are. Be as holy as your kids think you are. And as a pastor, be as holy as your congregation thinks you are and expects of you." That's frightening.
That's a
That's
lofty
frightening.
expectation.
Yeah. And even I try my best. I have this kind of mental mechanism, I guess you could call it. Anywhere I'm at, I want to act like there's a camera in the corner and my nieces and nephews are watching me. Because many of them think I'm a holy guy, my nieces and nephews. What
You
would
just
they
have
think
it.
if they saw me now? That is, it's supposed to make me uncomfortable. But like Jesus is like any good, athletic coach. He pushes you beyond your comfort zone. He pushes you. I don't think I can do that. Keep going. You can do this. Are you sure? I don't. I remember once I was in college. I was on the karate team, and we had an instructor, and he used to just murder us. He once made me. He would if for punishment. Now hold on tight, because most people think this is abuse. He would when we did something wrong, he made us do 50 push-ups on our wrists. We had to do push-ups on our wrists.
With
Yeah,
their
on
hands
your wrist.
backwards? Oh my
Yeah, with your
gosh.
hands backwards. And I remember thinking, you're a sadist.
Yeah.
You're a sadist. Well, guess what? I got to where I could do it easy.
Yeah.
And then he had to pick other ones. But I remember thinking, he's being unreasonable. But I want him to be proud of me. Pride says, I want you guys to be proud of me. But it's another thing when you say, God, we say this, Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, big deal. But can we be trustworthy of him? When he says, hey, I trust that you can do that. I know that you're going to do a good job. What are we like? Whoa. Moses, me? I pick somebody else. I don't think I can do this. I am not a, what are you talking about?
Not a speaker.
But no pride when Jesus makes the bar very high. This is why I love being Catholic. The church puts the bar very high. People want to become Catholic. Hey, do you understand when you become Catholic, Mother Church has expectations of you. That's why now the trust has not been put into you to spread and defend the faith in word and deed, to go to Mass every Sunday, to fast, to spread the faith. Is this what you want? This is what she expects of you. Because you go across the street to, Lifeway Community Church, they'll say, oh, come as you are. We love everybody. If you can't come, if you don't want to, don't worry about, we're here to make everybody comfortable. I've never said that to anybody in my life. Hey, we want everybody to feel comfortable. I don't dress like this because it's comfortable. I don't do that. I don't sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and say my rosary morning prayer because I feel like it. Oftentimes, I absolutely don't feel like it.
And that's part, I think that's the humility that is the medicine for the sin of pride.
Yeah, and just looking at a cross, can you be naked? Jesus was naked and vulnerable for us. Jordan Peterson talks about that. What happened to Jesus on Good Friday is the worst thing that can happen to anybody ever. Ever. Betrayal, humiliation, torture, wrongly accused by the very people you're trying to save. I mean, when we think about, that's why I am, when I, like today, well, today's Tuesday, right? Yeah. Tuesday, right? Sorry. When we do the sorrowful mysteries, I am sometimes, how do I say this? I'm very careful about how deep I meditate on the sorrowful mysteries. Because sometimes I come out of that just feeling exhausted the second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar. Okay. Lord, how do you want me to go through this with you? We can go do this again? Okay. But it's supposed to instill love in us and that. But like someone who's prideful doesn't think they have to sacrifice. They already think they have. Everybody should sacrifice themselves for them. But actually, they live in fear that they're going to be found out. That's really what it is. They're going to be found out. It's kind of like the wizard behind the curtain. Hey, pay no attention to that man. That must be terrifying. That we're not what people think. Wow, we're really just sinful people in need of redemption and still working on it. I tell people as I've been, I try to go to confession at least once a month, maybe every 3 weeks. And they go, what? What? Yeah. When I heard that John Paul II went every week, because some sins like anger and patience, I find myself growing more and more impatient when I'm even in the confessional, when someone's trying to confess something and they want to tell the whole story. I'm like, just get to it. Could you
Number and
just,
type.
huh?
Number and type.
Let's go. And I have to fight. I have to fight and just go, okay, and just recognize the processing. But I've become less and less, as I grow older, less and less patient. When some people just need to process, especially women, they want to process.
Sure.
And when you lit, and that's, anyway, just to feel grateful that, like yesterday, someone, when they allow us to see them in the church, when they allow us to bury their family, I mean, that's a privilege. Thank you for letting me do that. But whenever a couple allows me to witness their marriage, thank you for allowing me in this intimate place that you don't even know me. And now I'm part of this. So, but pride thinks, a prideful person will show up to hell and go, how dare you? How dare you send me here? And it's tough pill to swallow. I was
Well, and
that's that took us almost sorry.
And but I think that there's also, there's a danger in our quest for humility, to cross another line, into self-loathing, where it's not just a matter of,
Responsibility.
trying to not be so prideful. It's that I'm not good enough for anything. And that ultimately or arguably is just as dangerous as being prideful.
And the devil will tell you, you're sinful, you're bad, and when you do, he'll say, hey, see, I told you. I told you. So our sins don't define us, but we recognize that we're tempted to do that. We're tempted to do that. And we live in an age now when people define themselves by their disordered inclinations. I don't, part of me doesn't, when someone say, like Alcoholics Anonymous, people say, well, I'm an alcoholic. I struggle with that. So, no, you struggle with an inordinate attraction to alcohol. This doesn't define you. It's not who you are, not what you're meant to be. And we can get in that, with the whole pride. We have a whole month of pride. Well, all of a sudden you're celebrating disordered inclinations. No, you don't. I'm if someone says that they're gay, I say, no, you're not. You're a man or a woman. No, you're not. You're a man or a woman. That's who you are. This your inclinations has not defined you. And if you embrace that sinful inclination, that will be a pride. That's the culmination. It's manifested itself in a whole month. But believe it or not, Tom, I think, can we say some good news? I think we're starting to push back on this.
I think
There's
you're
some
right. I think we're
victory.
starting to see
I can't
some
believe we're
culture.
saying this because, in 2018, 2019, especially 2000, I wouldn't have said that. People are starting to discover natural law, consequences, and things that we should be proud of, people are ashamed of. Or like just when I was in Poland, we were a bunch of people and like they're almost ashamed to say they're Americans. Why would what? Is it say no what, and say we're Catholic instead of a Catholic, but when I was in college, that's all you ever heard. Well, I'm Catholic, but I'm Catholic and
And
I'm spiritual, therefore I'm very religious.
Well, I think I do think we're seeing so some of the cultural or the world around us pushing back on some of the nonsense associated to
Yeah.
Pride
And if
Month.
I could share what we do here in a specific way, I think I shared this with you last time. One of the ways we do ministry here to keep us humble in a very practical way. As you know, Tom, we go once a month. I have about 20 people. We go
Oh,
door to
that's right. Yeah.
door. And nothing will make you more humble than knocking on someone's door and said, "I'm not interested." Wham! Close the door. Or I'm not Catholic. I used to be, but now I'm Christian. And I'll tell you why. And all of a sudden they lay into you and just nod and say, "I'm sorry. That's terrible. I'm sorry." Or I remember a couple of times they came running after us, just calling us names. Oh my gosh. And wow, you walk away with your tail between your legs. That was a rough day. That's happened a hand, maybe more than once. More than once. It's
But not very good.
humbling. But it keeps us humbling. Go ahead.
Seeking humility is the key to into not being proud and prideful. It's okay to be
Hanging out
proud.
with people. Yeah.
As I say, I think it's it's okay to be proud of the things you do. They're proud of your children. They're proud of,
Yeah.
awards and recognitions and things like that that come your way, as a result of living an ordered lifestyle. That's okay. But when that becomes your identity,
Yeah.
that's when
But you
it
can
will
really get
become
practical
hard.
ways of doing is celebrating other people's victories, complimenting other people's gifts. That tempers your own pride, builds up humility. Nothing, I mean, I was always humbled when I work with teenagers, they'll humble
Oh
you. My gosh.
Father, we're gonna have to we're gonna ha we only got through one. We
I
this may take us a while.
I'm sorry. You should be called Father John talks too much.
Well, this was the big one.
This is
So,
the big Ryan is the big
so
one.
yeah. And so we will pick back up next week, folks, on what would Father say here with our discussion on the capital virtues or cardinal virtues and the capital sins. Remember, if you missed some of this episode, you can tune in on Sunday afternoon. We'll also rebroadcast this at 12:30. And remember to put on the armor of God.